folks, what I'm going to ask you now is what you want to ask. There's going to be some good time for a conversation. We're going to break in a few minutes and have some supper. Please keep talking, meet some more people. But I want to get Carolyn and Scotty up again and see what it is that you might like to ask them out of what you want, what you heard. What's kind of buzzing around? What would you like them to say a bit more about? Come on, do you want some questions?
Well, I'm quite interested to know on a sort of higher level what the churches together are actually doing about this. You know, we're having little meetings like this, but do you sense that this is going to be something that churches are really going to grapple with, or we have the tide turned?
Is the church actually grappling with these questions? That is a tough question. Have you had any support? What do you think?
I think this issue is one that needs a prophetic voice into it, and prophets are usually on the margins. So in terms of whether this is going to be something that mainstream church all jumps on board and you find the majority of congregations are doing this, I would say it, not for a while. I think this is still something that is on the edge, and I think whenever there was injustice in Israel, there was prophets, and they may have been lone prophets that would speak truth to that situation. And so I think there's always the room for the prophets to speak into that, and yeah, to keep speaking to your context and your congregations. And I think that will be the only thing that changes it.
Great question. The practice of something better is the best critique, right? And so I think I've seen a number of pastors over there. There's one who I've known for many years, and he used to mock tree huggers, as he called them. And he now values the care and concern of the environment, as he's got some great teaching. And over a 20-year span, he saw, you know, like these, I've seen pastors and leaders move. Definitely, I think the, you know, big doors swing on little hinges, which I didn't even touch on theologically, but the way we consume corporate and personal greed has the greatest degrading effect on the poorest of the poor. We know that through what we've learnt, and that is the quickest way to communicate to pastors and leaders about the importance of this issue. Because, man, you can deny all sorts of science if you're a science denier, but as soon as you touch on the care and concern of the poor, they can't deny the scriptures that invite us to that. And so that's what I would encourage the conversations. If you've got a pastoral leader, walk positively, walk tenderly, don't be the angry vegan, and see if you can call people to the care and concern of the poor and the environments that are being affected, that are affecting them.
Certainly from my perspective, I in the Presbyterian, and perhaps I think Anglicans and Methodists are similar, that there's been lip service paid. You know, Care for Creation has been listed as one of our five faces of mission for donkey's years, but one wouldn't see any observable signs of that. Another question.
No, mine's more of a comment. It was really refreshing hearing another side. I'm currently studying a Bachelor in Sustainability and Outdoor Education at ARA.
Brilliant.
And all we hear in our sustainability class is our relationship with God is selfish, and that's why the world is the way it is. And,
really?
And I'm sitting there going, no, this is not what our God's about.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's seeing it from a worldly point of view, and how the Western or developed world is built on Christian values, and he's saying that we've just abused it all. And I just thank you guys for saying that. It's kind of given me hope.
Great comment. Yeah. Do other people see that? That we're kind of in this sort of place of perceived tension between religion. It's kind of tied up in our religion and science kind of thing, and between greenies and Christians, they're not often in the same place where you can speak to each other. Yeah. Anyone else?
I really like your finishing point, Scotty, that we have to have a positive message, not a doom and gloom, blame, disempowering kind of approach to things. But I'd be interested to hear from both of you, what, you know, do you have a picture in your head of what a better society looks like, what a better communities look like to doing
think just in a very basic level, I think New Zealand is not doing life well. I think we live in isolated houses with big fences around us. We drive to places we don't see people. There's studies that say the more people you interact with, even if it's just the checkout person at the supermarket, the bus driver, someone that you nod to as you're walking down the road, the happier you are. And so our whole culture is set up in a way that is quite different from that. It's quite isolating. People sit in their big houses, drive in their big cars. And so I think looking to other cultures that have their compact cities and their public transport where you're rubbing shoulders with people all the time is more life-giving. How on earth you get what we value in New Zealand, Australia and America and transform it into something different, I think is challenging, and maybe our environmental planners have something to say about that. But I do think, and I have seen pockets of people choosing to, you know, work together to live differently, and I think it's something that has to be done in community. I think it's very hard as an individual to say, I'm going to live differently. I think it's something that you need support, you need accountability, you need encouragement, and you need to together decide that we're going to try and live differently. So I think trying to find like-minded people and say, what does the renewed earth look like? How will people be living there? What will the communities look like? Can we do that here and now? I think is one of the challenges.
That's a great question. I think, you know, I heard people talk about the three concentric circles around Jesus, kind of the crowd, the committed, and the core. And I think at the core group of the church, those that are, you know, really passionately trying to outwork this invitation to be God's people in this place and to the world, the invitation has to really wrestle with Scripture and answer those questions that are pressing us now around climate change. And so it's just, I think, as the core transforms in my experience, others are influenced by that. I think scientists are really good at being the prophets of doom, and that's why I'm really interested in being prophets of hope, you know, the church's role. And the scientists aren't doing that in a negative way. Like, I love the science that communicates these things. They're saying, guys, signpost, look out, we're in trouble. And as the church is an invitation, and we've got to probably pick that up. And my hope is that we're not laggards. Traditionally, the church can be laggards in societal issues, racial discrimination, prejudices. You know, historically, the church unfortunately has perpetuated these things, and I'd love to be on the front edge. I'd love to invite friends and others and our church to be on the front edge of this rather than trying to play catch-up in 20 years' time, you know, and people looking at us and judging us as, oh, those church, those guys that don't care, you know, the exact critique that your instructor's giving you at ARDA. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful to be known as the people on the front edge of the care and concern of the poor in creation? But it's a hope, probably, that requires some a core group of people in each context to answer that question.
You mentioned about transport and certainly how we kind of design our towns and our cities. Christchurch has been obviously in the midst of that. But I just did want to point out that's Simon Kingham who's speaking in here. For a venue for Simon's workshop on environmental justice. He's also an advisor for the government on transport issues. So he's kind of bringing that community perspective in, and he'll be saying more about that in here, starting in 20 minutes. And I'm going to be talking about Jesus over in the cafe room, which is over there, and Carolyn's workshop on how to do this. What does this look like every day is across in the sandpit on that side. We also have some little pieces of paper for you because we'd love you to write some more questions down for us. So see Chris there at the back. There are little bits of paper. So if you've got something else, or even if you think about it over supper, just write it on the piece of paper and put it where? There, right there. Just leave it on the counter. It's all good. A couple of other things. You talked about leadership in the church. The organisation Our Rosha has been working away and is growing as a Christian environmental care agency. And there are kind of some various projects under the Our Rosha umbrella. And one of those is our friend Steve, of course. Steve Muir has been leading in Our Rosha for donkey's years. Where are you, Steve? Can't see who he is. There he is down the back. One of the things Steve is passionate is about cycling. You can't talk to Steve very long before you realise that he's passionate about bikes. So he's been leading the project around Biketober, which includes a challenge to bike to church Sunday, and also...